Good evening or good morning or whatever time it is. Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is our championship week video notebook day number
Seven, isn't it? I don't know.
day seven. That's the end of the week. Oh, congratulations. It's Selection Sunday. This is
No.
wait, there's more than 7 days this week.
I think so. What day is it? I honestly do. We're off to a great start. Is it day
It
seven?
is day seven.
Okay, good.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, back with us as well. John Slico will probably be joining us here in a few minutes. He was running a little late this evening, or maybe he fell asleep again, who knows. This is the podcast where we review news and notes. We review all the conference tournament games that happened. We preview tomorrow's conference tournament games. We update our survival board. We do a few other things. Did I catch what we do in the shows? Is that
Yeah,
it?
pretty
Okay.
much. It's the notebook
Well,
championship.
let's start with a little news and notes, though, before we get into conference tournaments. And few games of note here. Rocco, we saw Baylor take care of Oklahoma State fairly easily tonight.
Baylor, they had looked somewhat suspect coming out of COVID pause. I think they're all the way back now. Macy Oteague, big game tonight. And the Bears, they're going through a gauntlet this week. I've been telling a few people that what they're going through this week is going to be tougher than the Big 12 tournament. If you factor in the fact they had to go to West Virginia Tuesday, Oklahoma State today, and Texas Tech on the weekend, those three games will be tougher than any three combination next week because they'll play the 8 or 9 seed in their first game. So, Bears look great.
Yeah,
Yeah, they do.
Bears look great. David, also in the Big 12, Texas, a real nice road win at Oklahoma tonight.
Oklahoma now lost three in a row, but two of those were to Oklahoma State in very close games. Tonight wasn't a blowout. It was actually kind of a fun game to watch, but a nice win for a Texas team that seemed to be in a bit of a tailspin, but pulled themselves out of it, playing really well now. Despite three straight losses, though, I'm not that concerned about the Sooners. I still really like them. That's just how good that league is.
Well, let's stick in the Big 12, Rocco. Kansas decided to host UTEP in a non-conference bye game, and well, they won.
Yeah, they came all the way back. They trailed by 15 with what, about 9, 8 minutes to go.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they
It's
had
still
to
like
really
a
turn.
Hey, John.
Go ahead. Yep.
They had to really string together, a couple 8-0 runs to finally get the lead. They didn't take the lead, I don't think, until about 3 minutes to go. UTEP, a team that actually like quietly came in with a 4-game winning streak in Conference USA. And even though they lost in the power rankings, they did a Conference USA a big favor. They passed the SoCon and they're now the 12th toughest league. So at least UTEP was able to do that for Conference USA.
Yeah, and John Slico with us as well. John, we're just going over some news and notes here. We discussed some of the games that happened. One other game we haven't yet discussed, Michigan went and just took care of Michigan State, just crushed them tonight.
Oh, I thought the game we were paying attention to was Vanderbilt and Cincinnati.
No,
Oh,
we decided.
we are getting into that one. How about that win
Yeah,
by
I tell you what, we're going to do a separate podcast after this one. It's going to be about 5 hours long. Talk about all about that game alone. I'm not going to be on it, though. A few other news and notes. Colin Gillespie for Villanova. It's an MCL tear. He's done for the season, unfortunately. Real
Yes.
bad news for Villanova there. They'll get a few games to see how they play without him before we get to the NCAA tournament, at least. Most of those will be the Big East tournament. One more regular season game for them. And speaking in the Big East, also Greg McDermott's been suspended. I think it's just a one-game suspension for the stuff you're probably reading about with him on the news. And I don't think we can talk much more about that tonight.
Yeah.
So. Let's get to right to conference tournaments then. I think that's the majority of the major news. There were a bunch of other regular season games, but no major upsets, and no other major upsets, and no other games involving top teams playing each other, at least.
Right.
So let's start off here in way, way back at 11 o'clock a.m. this morning, which was a Eastern, which was about 14 hours ago. We
Yeah.
started things off in the Atlantic 10 with the Duquesne Richmond game. And David, I know you've been on this Richmond bandwagon all season. I think you've finally reached the end of your line here, haven't you?
Well, I'm starting to think they may not win the conference tournament. They led for most of the game.
Richmond was without Blake Francis, their star player.
Yeah, they were without Blake Francis, but without him, they led by most of the game, looked like the better team for most of the game until they didn't. Duquesne, not a very good free throw shooting team, but or a good shooting team in general, but got it together late, put together a run. Really just showed a lot of toughness, I thought, this Duquesne team to get the win and advance to play tomorrow.
Yeah, and Stalica, the other three games, honestly, I mean, the Dayton-Rhode Island game was close for a little while, but then, Dayton put them away, and UMass and George Mason both rolled today.
I thought St. Joe's might put up a little bit more of a fight, given how they had actually finished the season strong, but then again, it would seem that way considering they were literally sleepwalking through the first 15 to 20 games of their season.
Yeah, but that sets up, Rocco, some very interesting quarterfinals. And so what do you think about these games tomorrow?
I'm excited for all four, to be honest. I guess if we just go through them real quick, The Bonnies, with the playing Duquesne instead of Richmond, it puts, I think, a little extra pressure on them. Because I think they understand a loss to Duquesne will look a little bit worse than a loss to Richmond would have, and puts really Duquesne nothing to lose. I think they're happy that they at least got the one win. And I think that could be really interesting scenario if it stays close, as a lot of these opening tournament games do. St. Louis and UMass, last time they played a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, St. Louis just blew them out. Obviously, UMass is a team that can score in bunches, but I think St. Louis is just too big and physical, and they might take them completely out of their game again. VCU Dayton, another one. Dayton just beat VCU in the last 2 weeks. I think that's going to be a great game. Jalen Crutcher's senior year. I don't see Dayton going down quietly. And then you got a storyline with Bowens Highland in that game. It's supposed to be playing, but is he full 100%? We don't know. And then Davidson, George Mason. George Mason's playing amazing down the stretch. Davidson is a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of team. We don't know what we're going to get from them. I could actually see George Mason winning that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real fun day. It really wasn't that great of a day today. I think we have a real good day in the Atlantic 10 tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to this conference tomorrow. But we got a lot to get to here. So let's just jump right on over to the Atlantic Sun, which was also in quarterfinals today. And John, let me come back to you here. We had the afternoon session up top there, I guess, with Liberty and Kennesaw, where Kennesaw was in the game a lot longer than I thought they would be. And then the first upset with North Alabama knocking off North Florida.
Not too much of an upset, at least as far as North Alabama would go right here. Of course,
I disagree with that, but go ahead.
I was going to say the one surprise on paper would at least be Stetson knocking off Bellarmine, but keep in mind, the Hatters also do have a win over Liberty this year, and never going to be easy if you're Bellarmine and you're playing in your first D1 conference tournament. Big step up from the GLVC like last year.
Yeah, I was talking about the North Alabama and North Florida game. Remember, these games were in Jacksonville. Now, that wasn't on North Florida's court for this game. This game was actually played at their rival Jacksonville's home court, but that's why I think it was a bit more of an upset than normal for North Alabama to beat North Florida. And I actually called the other game last night. I called the Florida Gulf Coast to win last night over Lipscomb.
Yeah, you did. And that one was close throughout, but Gulf Coast pulling away late. North Alabama, congrats to them. I believe this is their first ever conference tournament win.
Didn't they win a game last year also?
Oh, they did win a game last year. Okay, so in the semifinals again as a transitional team.
Or was it 2 years ago? Maybe this is their third year. I think their first year they won a first round game.
But. Okay, we are having another Hoops HD moment. It's either their first or their second win ever.
Rocco's getting that information for us.
it was actually their first win. David gets this one.
Okay, I thought they hosted a game, but they lost it. I believe in their first year.
I think that's right. Yep.
All right.
Oh, yeah, they finished high that year.
Yeah, Bellarmine also having an outstanding season. You kind of wanted to see them get a win today as well, but. Even though they didn't, still a fantastic first year as a transitional program. But I was a little bit surprised. I had been kind of big on this North Florida team. I actually expected them to be a little bit better than what they were. And coming down the stretch, I thought that they were starting to rebound a little bit, but going down to North Alabama. But what this sets up is what should be Liberty walking into the NCAA tournament.
Well, how this works also, North Alabama, because they're still transitional, if they win this thing, Liberty gets the auto bid.
Yeah.
So, Rocco, if we get Liberty and North Alabama, which the two higher seeds winning tomorrow, we're going to have a fairly meaningless conference tournament championship game because Liberty have already clinched.
Right. I mean, it will still be good from the standpoint, like North Alabama, like that's all they're playing for. This is their Super Bowl, if you will. So they'll bring it. But yeah, Liberty knows if they have a bad night, they're fine. And that kind of sucks. If Liberty takes a North Alabama loss, they could drop from perhaps a 13 to a 14. So they should probably put that into their thinking if we get to that scenario.
And if they get upset by Stetson, they still have a backdoor way in, not through an automatic bid, but through North Alabama beating Gulf Coast in the late game and then beating Stetson again on a Sunday. It'll be a day. There'll be a day off here in this conference before the finals.
Correct.
Let's jump over to another conference that was in the semifinals. And we started the day with a bottom game there, actually. Campbell, David, was one of the, very surprising the way they just blasted Radford on the road.
Yeah, perhaps one of the more surprising results in all of championship week. I was expecting Radford to win. Campbell winning would have been a surprise, but it wouldn't have been jaw-dropping. Campbell blasting Radford into outer space was jaw-dropping. I couldn't believe it, really. And that margin was a lot more. It was around 30 for a lot of the game.
And Sleek, of course, we had the Wynwood Cup between Winthrop and Longwood was not as good of a game as we were hoping for in the, of course, the Wynwood Cup.
I don't think we honestly expected too much love from Longwood.
I did not mean to buzz you. I'm sorry about that. You can go ahead.
I'm sure you did.
This is what I actually, what I actually meant to do.
Oh, my God. Please stop. Please stop. Okay, that's enough.
I mean, we should probably give Longwood a medal just for beating Asheville the other night, but beating Winthrop would have been a shock.
So David, Winthrop and Campbell for the championship game.
Well, common sense would tell you Winthrop walks into the NCAA tournament, but Campbell looked about as good as anybody from the Big South has looked all year tonight. So I wouldn't totally write them off.
Rocco, what do you think about this conference, what happened today and that championship game?
Well, I mean, Campbell's been a team where they have a very like fluid offensive system. And when they're clicking, they get hot. And obviously we saw that today. We saw it in the first Winthrop matchup. I don't know if you guys remember way back in January, they played the first game. Campbell was up big on Winthrop, ended up losing by 1 point. I was really impressed that night. And now if you look at it, Campbell's won 9 in a row. They came into this tournament on a 7-game winning streak. So I actually picked Campbell to win this one today.
Wow.
It's going to be tough for them to go into Winthrop, but if they click the way they did, the last time they went there, they end up getting blown out in the second game, but it could be really interesting. The Camels have nothing to lose and they're feeling really good and they have a good system offensively.
Yeah, I think it could be a lot more interesting of a game than people are giving credit for, given that it's a Winthrop team that's only lost once all year. But
right.
Let's take a look at the first round of the Missouri Valley. Rocco, let me stick with you. We saw Southern Illinois and Northern Iowa pull out victories here in these games and a couple of pretty decent games, actually.
Yeah, decent games. I mean, it's Arch Madness. They have to be decent games. They usually are sometimes just better than decent. Southern Illinois had a couple guys go down throughout the game. They got
Lance Jones is a question mark for tomorrow against Loyola.
And that's a big deal because if you remember back to last weekend, Lance Jones put up 30 against Loyola in the overtime loss. So they're going to need that scoring. So we'll be keeping tabs on that early tomorrow morning. But Southern Illinois, Loyola, Chicago tomorrow, if I can make a quick comment there is, of course, Mr. Mullins, one of the youngest head coaches in NCAA Division I, taking on his teacher, Mr. Porter Mosier. And that was so interesting last weekend, how tough they battled that Loyola, Chicago. Now they get a third shot at him. Kind of hope they're healthy because I really want to see a good game. And kudos to SIU. They've just gotten Everything turned back around here in the last couple of weeks after it looked like it was slipping away.
Yeah. David, we also have this huge game for Drake against Northern Iowa. They cannot lose this game if they won that large bid.
Absolutely right. And, you know, one of the big four games, Drake and Northern Iowa, the Iowa rivalry there. But I don't think they will. Northern Iowa is, you know, they've been decimated by injuries. Illinois State isn't that good. I know Drake's been injured too, but I think Drake gets it done tomorrow.
Salika, what about Indiana State Evansville, Missouri State Valpo? You see form holding there? You see an upset in either one of those games?
I'll probably give a slight edge to the trees in this one, but Valpo, I'm not going to be looking for too much out of them against the Bears.
I like how Missouri State's playing.
I do, but I think Valpo's also been playing well recently. I would not be shocked to see Valpo pull off that upset in that late game. And it is Arch Madness, and crazy things always happen in Arch Madness. You cannot forget that. So we may end up with a Southern Illinois, Northern Iowa championship game for all we know. Which would be crazy. but those are the four games we'll be talking about. Those are four games I'm looking forward to as much as anything tomorrow. I think that's probably more than anything tomorrow. It's these four games or the A-10. Maybe 50 coin flip there. It was also the second half of the quarterfinal day in the Ohio Valley where we saw a pair of very close games as well. David, with Jacksonville State with an overtime win over Murray, and then Eastern Kentucky barely holding off against Austin Peay.
Yeah, Eastern Kentucky, you know, had a lead. They would extend it. Austin Peay would fight back. EKU would extend it. And it went down to the end with EKU getting the win and advancing to play Morehead State, who they split with that this year. So, you know, the rivals, the last
two. Sorry about that. I got something on the screen. Let me get that off here.
Oh, okay. But, you know, it's kind of their last hurrah in the Ohio Valley anyway, between these two. You kind of hate that it's during a pandemic and that the fans can't be there, but that should be a fun one. The other game that you mentioned kind of seesawed back and forth the whole way. Like you said, it went into overtime. Murray State had a chance to tie it at the end of overtime and force another overtime, but just couldn't get a three to go down. They had two really good looks. Jack State moving on to face Belmont, who they played Belmont probably the toughest team in this league. I mean, easily the most dominant, but earlier in the season, Jack State, while at home, did play them kind of tough.
If you go back to the regular season, Eastern Kentucky is rather fortunate to get a split against Morehead here, because if you remember the game at Eastern Kentucky, Morehead had jumped out by double digits at halftime, and Eastern Kentucky just gradually chipped and chipped away and at least won their game at home. So naturally, I think Eastern Kentucky will probably win this one in a blowout. Yeah,
probably so.
Yeah, this is a good rivalry here. Been a good rivalry here between Morehead and Eastern Kentucky over the years. It'll be the last time the two teams ever play as Ohio Valley opponents, with EKU on its way out to the Atlantic Sun next year. So the A-Sun.
As is Jack State. So
Jack State and Morehead State is not a traditional rivalry, right, as much as Morehead and EK.
I was just making the point that Jack State is on their way to the East.
Yeah, well, nobody cares. Rocco, what do you think about these two games? Do you think EKU and or Jacksonville State could pull the upset, although EKU would be a fairly minor one?
Yeah, I think they both are going to be pretty tight games, and I think it'll be some good drama again in Evansville. The two games tonight were fantastic, and I think we're going to get more of the same tomorrow. I do think in the end Morehead State gets it done one way or another. They only played each other once, and it was way back in December, a game that Morehead State won pretty comfortably by 13. A lot has changed since then for both teams. In the other game, you've got Jacksonville State, a team that took Belmont at home to the horn, actually probably should have won and lost it late on a tip-in. So, when they played at Belmont, it was not as competitive, but I do think Jacksonville State will have a good game plan, see if they can get their legs back after an overtime game tonight. If so, I expect them to battle Belmont all the way through.
Yeah.
But I'll take Belmont to win.
You know what? I called chalk in this conference tournament. I think I agree with you. We're going to have good games, but I'm still sticking with my chalk pick. It held up through the first round. I think it held up through these last three games. It'll be Belmont over Morehead in the finals.
I say beware not the Ides of March, but the Ray Harpers of March.
True. That guy wins conference tournaments.
He did Jacksonville State. Keep an eye on Ray Harper there. One more conference that was in action and or is in action tonight is the West Coast Conference, where earlier this evening, San Francisco beat San Diego by 16, and it was not even really that close. They absolutely destroyed the Toreros. Rocco, the Dons move on for an interesting matchup tomorrow with Loyola Marymount.
Yeah, the Dons kind of got a nice layup today, having no problem with San Diego. I think they needed that. They came into the tournament with a 6-game losing streak, just brutalized by having to play Gonzaga and BYU, and they've really struggled with this Loyola team. They got beat up down there in LA by 8 in January, and then they came up here and Loyola got the best of them. Loyola is a physical team. They actually, I think I mentioned this earlier in the week, they actually might be the third best team in the league right now. They just knocked off Pepperdine. Unfortunately, they have the 5 seed and have to win a couple times to even make it to Gonzaga. But I think LMU is probably going to be a little too strong, unfortunately, for the local Dons here. But Dons are capable of beating them too. So it should be a good game.
And anybody that's watching this, especially watching on Friday morning, if you want to find out about the Santa Clara Portland game final, just go up to hit the conference tournament tab, go down to the West Coast Conference. You'll see who won the game. Yeah. As we record this, they're in a 1-point game in about halfway through the second half. We did not wait for that game to go final before we started tonight. But whoever wins this game, and surprising so far that Portland is playing as well as they've played, we really didn't think they'd be in this game tonight. They'll get Pacific in the late game Friday night. So on that note, that was all the games that were played tonight. We do have a couple other conferences that are in action starting play tomorrow night, or sometime tomorrow at least. And John, let me start with you over in the SoCon, where it is opening round day, Citadel Western Carolina and Mercer Samford. Anything you're looking forward to in these two games?
I think we honestly expected a little more out of Western Carolina when you look at how they've played the past couple of years in comparison to the recent past. But Citadel's also had a couple of nice surprises in conference play right here. So I think Citadel's probably going to win at least one game, maybe give Greensboro a bit of a workout in their quarterfinal, but not much beyond that.
Yeah, Rocco, as far as this conference tournament goes as a whole, what do you like? Because I'm really excited about this. But after we get through tomorrow, I'm very excited about this conference tournament.
Yeah, well, there's so many storylines. It's hard to know where to begin. Like, VMI has just had the amazing year. Unfortunately, they got shut down for COVID at the end and lost their last two games. So I don't know if they'll be full strength by the time they play Furman. So it's hard to pick them to even win that one round. Plus, that's a brutal matchup. I think overall, Greensboro is probably just, defensively and ball pressure wise cut out to conserve their energy and get through three wins. Crazily, if you look at the last week, Western Carolina is the hottest team. Even though it's still the 9 seed, they beat Greensboro and they blew out Mercer. So maybe if WCU can beat Stolica's Citadel squad, that could be a crazy Saturday game. So I'm looking for a lot of things. I guess if I have to, you want me to make a pick, I'll take Greensboro.
I'm going to take Furman. I think Furman is still on paper the best team in this conference. I think they have a favorable draw here, only having to play either Greensboro, one of Greensboro, Chattanooga, or ETSU.
Yeah.
I think they'll take care of VMI. Think that Wofford or Mercer, whoever comes out of there, is an easier draw for them. So I'm taking Furman, David.
Yeah, I will too, if they get by VMI.
If they get by VMI. David, let me stick with you. One other conference is starting tomorrow with 4 games, and its new format here with divisional format is the Sun Belt down in a new site in Pensacola, Florida. New format for this conference and everything. These are teams that have not played each other all season because you only played your own division all season. So we've got Arkansas State, Georgia Southern, South Alabama, Louisiana Monroe, App State, Little Rock, and Arlington against Troy in the opening round tomorrow.
Yeah, a bit of a disappointing year for the Sun Belt. It kind of ate itself. No one really emerged as the dominant team except for maybe Texas State, and they're looking very much like in the 15-16 range. But there's still some teams with some pieces that I like. I still like this Georgia State team. Even though that they were the fifth place team, I think Little Rock could be pretty good. Arlington's shown some promise. As far as the games tomorrow, none of them really have my blood pumping, but overall, once we get past tomorrow, I think it's going to be a pretty good tournament.
Rocco, I'm kind of interested in the top two games there. I mean, I think the higher seed team will win, but both Arkansas State and South Alabama are two teams I was watching late in the season.
Yeah. They were playing both really well. Like, I would pick both of them to win tomorrow and give their next opponent a tough game. South Alabama might actually be better than Louisiana right now, in fact. On the other side of the bracket, I think we have to at least mention that Scott Cross drew his old team UTA in the first game. That's going to be awesome.
Yes.
So I can't wait to see how that plays out. You know, Troy should have some extra motivation. Texas State's got the unbelievable story, interim coach winning the league. I think when we get to quarterfinal action, it's going to be pretty solid. Could be a couple blowouts tomorrow, but we'll see.
I don't know if you saw the video also where they won the league was because he had actually couldn't go to the games because of COVID. Right. It was not there at the game where they won the championship, but he drove up his car and the team celebrated around him in the car
for the championship. That was really cool.
Yeah, that was a cool scene.
John, who do you like to win this whole event?
Who do I like to win this whole thing? I'm probably going to go with Georgia State right here.
Okay. You're going Georgia State. I'm going to go Texas State. I didn't want to believe in them. I didn't want to believe in a team that lost to Our Lady of the Lake. But, you know, Our Lady of the Lake is a great team, David. So.
Okay. All right. On that note.
They added a game against Rice tomorrow even. So.
Okay. Oh, no.
I can't believe we're not discussing the little Roccos and the hot Mountaineers.
That's a fun matchup too.
Yeah. I think it's gonna be. That might be the best game of the four tomorrow, actually. But I think that Texas State pounds either one of them, quite honestly. Let's jump over to our survival board. Let's see, where is it? This is our NCAA tournament survival board, Dave. It's a tool we do for the selection committee, correct?
Yes. Yeah, we put this together for the selection committee so they can use this as they're selecting the teams.
Right. And teams marked in various different ways. If you are bold at all caps, that means you're automatic bid winner. We don't have any of those yet.
Yeah, nobody's won a conference tournament yet.
If you're bold, you're a lock. That means you're in no matter what.
Yeah, it means the committee, they'll come to this board, they'll see you in bold, and they'll take you.
So if they're wondering about Villanova, they're in. You don't have to debate whether they're in or not.
Right, yeah.
But if they come to this board, they're wondering about Stalika's team. They're wondering about Xavier. They can learn that they're in italics, which means they do need to debate them. That is a team you have to discuss.
Yeah, you have to discuss them. But
I mean, it'll be a quick debate if they have more games like they did on Tuesday night.
Yeah. But if they come to this board though, and they're wondering whether or not they should give an at-large bid to Portland State, though.
No, you shouldn't, because they're in normal type. Those teams need the auto bid to get in.
And heading into play today, we were down to 300 teams remaining. We'd been going at a snail's pace.
Yeah.
We picked the pace a little bit better today, David. As a result of all of today's games, and this will actually decrease by one more once the West Coast Conference game goes final. But as of right now, 286, we'll be at 285 by tomorrow morning.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, you know, getting 15 more teams eliminated. As teams are eliminated, be sure you follow our friend Brian Black on Twitter. 357 Jerseys for Hope is his handle. Retweet his stuff. Donate to his cause if you can. He's raising awareness for epilepsy. He's collecting all 357 jerseys and giving a shout out to each team as they're eliminated from the survival board.
Yeah, and you see conferences like the Atlantic Sun down to only three. There's four teams left there. North Alabama ineligible, so three teams left. Those are some of the results of today's games.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got our feature to get to, right?
Yes, we do. And you've seen this. Have you been paying attention to this? The Hoops HD hot seat.
These are coaches. Rocco, these are coaches that are on the hot seat.
I'm glad Rocco's here tonight for this one.
Yeah. These are coaches that we believe are on the hot seat. They need to win, and they need to stay on that survival board. And we talked about John Calipari, Tony Bennett, Roy Williams, and Scott Drew already. But we've got a big one for tonight.
Yeah.
And this is, let's start with a guy who's actually not on the Hoops HD hot seat very briefly. Archie Miller's not, because it's pretty much accepted that he's gone.
Yeah.
So who is on the hot seat? Indiana's next head coach. He's already on the hot seat,
he's
David.
We don't know who it is. We just know that he's on the hot seat.
He's grandfathered in.
Yes, because there has never been a coach at any point that wasn't on the hot seat since Bob Knight left, who got fired.
I think, to be fair to Archie Miller, his seat is already burned.
Yeah.
He's burned. Hot seat, though, whoever they hire next season, on the hot seat already. Because, as we know, Indiana fans accept nothing short of a national championship, and they can't even make the NCAA tournament. So, let's pull this down here and let's run through any of their final thoughts. John, let me start with you today.
Yeah, we're going to start to wonder if there's going to be some parallels between Bellarmine and their former GLVC pals in Northern Kentucky. But granted, the Knights have had a much better transition so far, and this is only going to be after year one. But keep in mind, Northern Kentucky, they never won a game in the conference tournament as far as the Atlantic Sun goes. But once they joined the Horizon, business really started to pick up, albeit under a different coach in John Brannan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to see those two end up together someday, because that would be kind of fun.
Rocco.
Yeah, just a couple quick thoughts. Tomorrow, in addition to all the amazing tournaments that we're going to be following as our top priority, there is a very important bubble team taking a trip to Reno, Nevada. That's Colorado State in most people's final teams in, including my own. And it's a dangerous trip. Nevada's, of course, swept Boise at home. Colorado State's going to really have to bring it. That'll be a nice way to add into the late night mix tomorrow. So keep your eye on that. I would also just go back to the Sun Belt draw that you introduced. I haven't even really dug into it yet, so I'm glad you did. I could see any number of like 5, 6, 7 teams winning the whole thing. It's really about who gets hot. Texas State had a great regular season, but it's not like they're unbeatable. And Georgia State might have the most talent, but this Arkansas State team, for example, could be, you know, get hot and beat them right away. So really excited to see who comes out of that.
Yeah, and I think it's also kind of neat with that conference, the fact that we've got teams that did not play each other during the regular season. You normally know the teams you played out. Now, as we move forward, there will be teams with the same division playing each other, presumably, but at least for these first round games, teams that don't know each other at all for this year. So could make for some very interesting games and maybe some upsets here.
Yeah.
David, you want to finish out the show here?
So far, we've had mostly good luck with the conference tournaments. I know that Holy Cross had to bow out and that game was canceled. I goofed earlier. I tweeted something out saying that so far we haven't had any. I guess we have had the one. But
Jacksonville also. So there's
And Jacksonville also, because they were going to have a 9-team tournament. But we haven't had to have a tournament game canceled after the tournament had actually tipped off. So we're still having some good luck with that. Hopefully that continues the rest of the way.
Yeah.
We chose the wrong feature here at Hoops HD. We should probably be fact checking the puppets' tweets instead.
That would not work. I think that would be bad. What I want to do though is thank everybody for joining us. We will be back again sometime at some ungodly hour tomorrow night with another one of these video notebooks and every night. And I think we got our next bracket. We did a bracket rundown tonight, actually. If you want to go watch that, if you didn't, it is below us or above us or to the side of us here. There's also the survival board tab up there, the conference tournament tab up there. But on behalf of David Griggs, John Salica, and Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Have a great night, everybody. And we'll talk to you at some ungodly hour tomorrow night.